You're watching Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. Every year, the Securities Commission hosts the SE by SE conference. It's a synergistic collaboration between SE and some key players talking about fintech, Islamic fintech, village of solutions, future of work, all those kind of stuff that requires a lot more thinking and rethinking on how the financial sector is going to be improved, how the capital market is going to be improved, and how players, particularly startups as well as high-performance companies, can actually play their part in improving the financial literacy and financial sector of not just this country, but of course across the region as well. Because of this, I'm pleased to have Chin Wei Min, the Executive Director of Digital Strategy and Innovation Division of the Securities Commission, joining us this evening to talk about SE by SE and a little bit more surrounding it. So how are you, Wei Min?
Thank you. I'm well. Thanks, Ibrahim, to invite me to this your show.
The idea here is, of course, SE by SE is an event that is being done every year annually. Things do change every year. What's the flavor for this year?
Again, thank you for mentioning. I think this is our 8th year running, and we have been doing this diligently. This is for this year will be the second year we're doing it virtually. Last year was the first year, but this will be the first year we're doing on a dual track. And among the exciting agenda includes the Islamic fintech. So we have a full day of Islamic fintech in addition to our normal track. And I'll share more afterwards. I think the Islamic fintech is an exciting area. It's a focus area for SC. And we will be looking at how can we use fintech to actually further many of our Islamic capital market agenda. In addition to Islamic fintech, we also have a track on financial inclusion. And in addition to, we're also going to talk a lot about the RegTech. Like, so this is a regulatory technology. How do we ensure and helping our players do the compliance through innovative technology? Back to the Islamic fintech, for this year, we will also, it will be, if you like, the closing sessions for our FICRA, which is our Islamic fintech accelerator program, the first one done by an regulator. This will be, if you like, the closing sessions where I think for the last few months we have been doing and helping many of our participants who come onto our accelerator program. There are all 7 of them, and then they will be in the last day, on the 3rd day of our SC by SC, they will do the demo. Again, the SC by SC this year will be on October 26th to 28th. And I would like to welcome all the viewers here to, you know, actively go to our website to sign up, which is scxxc.my. And you can sign up, and then you should come and attend. And this is done virtually, so you can attend from anywhere, and you can. Thanks again, Ibrahim.
Yeah, okay. Let's talk a little bit more about Islamic fintech per se. A lot of detractors are saying that fintech is as vanilla as it gets. There's no amount of usury that is involved in fintech. Conventional as it is, it doesn't have that kind of issue when it comes to Sharia compliancy. So how do we differentiate between fintech as we know it versus Islamic fintech? What are the key value propositions that Islamic fintech brings to the capital markets, especially Islamic capital markets?
Yeah, very good question. I think, firstly, I do think that the whole Islamic capital market space do a bit more innovation. So one of the key agenda within the Islamic fintech is looking at innovation. When I say innovation, it means also looking at the products. And what are the products? Not just the conventional products where you just Islamicize and then convert it, but more something genuine. And a lot of the principles that we talk later on CMP3 about the Makassid principle is to look at the social finance. How can we be a responsible businesses? How can we be responsible to our society? So many of these principles can be brought forward and think about how do we actually reach out to the broader public. So these are actually including how the issuers, how they fundraise, how the investor invests their precious money to actually get the return, as well as some of the corporate governance issue, right? So Malaysia as a country, we have a unique advantage in terms of Islamic capital market. And here we can actually further put ourselves leg up in terms of adding the fintech element and look at how technology can help us propel many of our distinct advantage. As a nation, we are, you know, in the leadership position for the Islamic capital market. So that's why we are focusing on this. Now, to your questions about Islamic fintech and how do we actually help? So again, we're looking at clever, innovative products which again can deliver to the masses. So These are the, if you like, underserved or unserved issuers. There could be somebody who have trouble fundraising. Can we use the digital capability to reach out to them? Similarly, for investors, can we actually use this channel to actually reach out to their investors? So that is one of the areas we can actually look at in terms of how do we use fintech as a capability to broaden the agenda. So that's channel part, there's a in terms of the products part. Again, then there's also the intermediary, the providers. Again, providers can be a platform, so where we can actually make the people who want to fundraise money meet the people who want to be able to help give money to these people. So this is where we can more efficiently mobilize these capital to the people whose most deserving needs. Again, the Islamic angle to this will be how do we add the element, whether it's a social finance, whether it's a responsible business, whether it's from corporate governance, whether from an ethical consideration, or even how do we become better. So I think that's the angle where we're actually looking at from an Islamic fintech.
You alluded to earlier just now CMP3 or the Capital Market Master Plan 3. It is a conversation that needs to be had because it is quite similar to the consistency of what the government wants over the past few years. We have had three prime ministers in 3 years or 4 years, I've lost count. But the notion of having a strong capital market is consistent across these three governments. In fact, the one before that as well. What is interesting, at least for CMP3, in my opinion, is that it is driven by digital innovation. It is driven by strong growth. But more importantly, it is driven by the consistency of support that the government wants to give to individual players out there in the market. My worry is this, that we don't have enough support domestically through tax breaks or through other assistance to enable for a very flourishing kind of capital markets to thrive on in the years to come. Do you feel that we have what it takes to make the capital market scene in Malaysia a little bit more vibrant towards what we want to achieve or aspire to?
Thanks again, Ibrahim, on this. Maybe I'll take a step back and then just pin the overall context and then maybe talk about what is inside, then maybe to help your viewer understand what we're trying to achieve. Then you can be a better judge whether that is sufficient for us to do. So firstly, I didn't want to talk about the CMP3, our third Capital Market Master Plan, which is for year 2021 to year 2025. This is a policy document or this is a master plan document, hopefully to actually seed and catalyze the whole growth of the industry as well as with its own in tandem with the regulatory approach that go with it. Again, when I say the context is, if you look at, this is the third CMP, if you look at back in the days on the CMP1, at the context of it, this is that time was post-Asian financial crisis, where we actually have the master plan to actually look at how can we lay a stronger foundation, address some of the structural inadequacy, and we have done that successfully. And you look at the second Capital Market Master Plan, which is from 2011 to 2020. And this is where we talk about growth with governance, right? So having laid the right foundation, we're beginning to look at how the market should conduct itself, internalize many of the corporate governance and many of the factors that this is post-global financial crisis. Again, as coincidentally in CMP3, we are now at, pandemic, and then we're also again looking at the whole economic recovery. And it's very important that we look at this master plan to look at a number of angles. One is looking at the whole nation's economic recovery, so there should have an element of that, as well as if you look at the last 2 decades, we have laid the right foundation. So the next step for us is look at, like you correctly pointed out, innovation, but it's also making our market, we like to think that it's actually become more mature now. So how can we make it a bit more layered, more diversified, and how do we make it much more, like I said, it's not a one size fits all. So there should be something for somebody. Now, let me just talk a bit about CMP3. There are 3 desired outcomes that we're looking at. Let me just highlight them first. So relevant, efficient, and diversified. I will take it through in turn, right? So in terms of relevant, so we want the capital market to be relevant to our underlying economy. And in this, I meant the micro and SME, as well as the mid-tier company, both collectively made out of 60% of our GDP of the economy. So from that standpoint, we want the capital market to be really relevant. How can we help them fundraise? How can we help them grow? And how can they be much more efficient in actually raising capital? Relevant can also mean for us, is also, as you well know, I think from the global trends, that we need to actually, with the whole climate change that we are experiencing now, you know, we look at the news every day. So we want us to be also relevant in terms of as we transition towards net zero emission situation. So transition finance is a very critical area for us, right? So we want us as a nation to be also relevant in terms of how can we pivot and change towards and transform our economy to become much more climate sensitive, as well as moving towards carbon neutrality and to a great extent decarbonize many of activity we do. And capital market can help in terms of financing, fundraising, and as well as how do we make sure this process could be efficient. And the third part, the relevant, and many of you have seen also globally, that I think our company not just shouldn't focus on the shareholders, but we want to be relevant to the broader stakeholders, right? By this, we mean not just about the whole shareholders alone, but it can be the broader stakeholder, which include the employee, the suppliers of the company, the broader community and society. So this is point number one. So in terms of the outcome, we want to be relevant. In terms of efficient, we want to be efficient in terms of how do we allocating the right resources. So this is about risk capital, right? So especially the frontier sector, right? Again, many of us have heard about the government talk about how can we pivot towards a digital economy, and how do we make sure we can allocate the right type of capital to help us grow, to find the nation's next level of growth engine in terms of how can we help finance that. So we want to be able to actually allocate the risk capital more efficiently. Also from an efficiency standpoint, we also want to be able to manage the risk. Now this risk could be conduct, could be market, and Ibrahim, as you correctly pointed out, technology risk. Right? So in the coming few years, we're also again looking at how do we actually manage the technology risk. In this case, technology risk, not just cyber, it can be AI, could be data bias, can be many unknown technology that can come. So I think from the regulatory standpoint, can we look at the whole overall technologies risk framework? How can we manage that better? And thirdly, I think in terms of the efficiency, we also want to make sure we can manage the regulatory outcome so that we can have credible deterrence. So in this case, we want to actually prioritize such that the right regulatory action are taken to make sure we have a desired outcome in an efficient manner. At the same time, we also don't want to be over regulatory burden to the entire industry. So that's efficient.
Yeah, when the finance minister launched CMP3, he highlighted the fact that the ecosystem of the capital markets must help mobilize early and growth stage firms. He was talking about the private public partnership. He was talking about co-investment structures. He was talking about VC and PE support. He's also talking about the ability for us to provide some sort of, you know, assistance. I don't know what he meant. Is it tax breaks or anything like that? Is this critical for us to actually help early stage and growth stage firms to actually flourish? Because if you ask me, we're kind of losing out to our neighbors, and rightfully so. We need to have the right support system. How do you think that this assistance of ecosystem supporting or mobilizing capital to early stage and growth stage companies can be fitted or found inside CMP3?
Yeah, totally right question. Again, we want to be relevant, right? And then as such, we need to be efficient. You are absolutely right in terms of we need to do more in terms of the what I consider the funding escalator. That means how can we allocate resources in the early stages of our company to actually help them to be successful in the later stages. As our finance minister correctly pointed out, part of the CMP3 is to actually look at how do we allocate those resources. As you would know, Ibrahim, I think for the last, since 2015, 2016, we already put in place, you know, equity crowdfunding framework. We already put in place peer-to-peer financing to help with the working capital. And most, I think last year, we have again have the digital asset guideline, which actually allow us to look at the initial exchange offering. These are instruments and framework and platform that we want to put in place to help these early stage financing to be successful. Now, we will be doing more. I think we will actually, we like to think that we put the different building blocks together in the CMP3. We want to actually continue to build this up to be able to enable many of our early stage entrepreneurs to fundraise. Again, not just this alone. I think these companies need to continue to grow in the later stage, right? So they're the late stage, maturity stage, and eventually could be a public, in the public market. Those areas in terms of VC, PE, these are the, we were looking at the new types of instruments that may be able to help them, and we are trying to find a conducive environment for them to fundraise more efficiently, and hopefully with the right type of investor to be participating. Again, we are also looking at what are the investor eligibility in this case, right? So we can actually crowd in more private sector participation. What I meant by that is we will be looking at maybe say mass affluent kind of investor category. Can there be, if they have the sufficient knowledge and know-how, they should be able to allow to participate in some of these areas with, you know, with clear awareness that they're investing in the risk capital. Again, the efficiency in allocating these resources will need to actually couple with the right type of risk appetite, again, based on what are the investors' own risk appetite as they invest in this. Go ahead.
Yeah, the thing about regulators such as yourself is a person like me, individually, me, I would want you guys to be very risk averse. I would want you guys to be a little bit more conservative in your approach, but you know there is that complicated balance that you guys have to manage, which is to be nimble, be proactive and reactive to change, and try to adapt to these changes. I understand that balance is very delicate, but I also understand that if you were to err on the conservative, and I want you guys to do that. The issue here that I find is that we are lacking in, we're lacking so many things, but what we're not lacking as a country is blueprints. We have the 12th Malaysia Plan. We have the Shared Prosperity Vision 2030. We have the Fourth Industrial Revolution policy, the Malaysian Digital Economy Blueprint. I'm going to be running out of airtime to just regurgitate some of the plans here. How does CMP3 fit in all these mega blueprints and roadmaps that we have in the country? Do you feel that it has to be harmonious with all these mega blueprints, or can it stand on its own and capital market players and regulators like yourself can actually stand alone and push forward despite all these mega blueprints that we have in the country?
I mean, we can't be working in isolation, that's for sure. As we actually come up with the blueprint, we were actually looking at, you know, we had clear alignment with the RMK12 and all the other master plans, as you mentioned, right? Whether it's My Digital, whether it's the SPR, the 2030, many of the thinking or those are key inputs to our master plan. And again, when we actually also, we also validate many of our thinking with the industry participant, as well as all the relevant stakeholders, right? So whether it's looking at the ESG or sustainable responsible investment, whether it's looking at how can we actually help with the fundraising in the early stages. So I think in this case, we are definitely looking, definitely in clear alignment with all the other blueprint. What I would mention is we got to do our part. I think the most important aspects of the master plan is, so how do we implement them? And I hope our record speaks for ourselves that I think we have already started some part of this, whether it's VCPE or some of the fintech agenda. We have been doing it diligently for the last few years, and we intend to actually further scale it up. I think the scaling of that, and we have seen that successfully in the pandemic. I will give you some statistics, right? I think from just ECF and P2P alone, just counting from the beginning of MCO 1 and all the way till now, we are already successfully fundraising more than 1.3 billion ringgit, helping many of the small and micro, tying them through the period. And we have actually, that is actually doing more. And this year alone, if you look at peer-to-peer financing, helping some of the micro and SMEs who fundraise just for their working capital, first half of this year, the first two quarters, we already fundraised more than what we total fundraised in 2020. That shows that some of these things that we're doing, in a very small part, help us actually help the micro and SME sector to successfully fundraise. And same thing with the equity-based financing. We have, I think last year and this year, we have seen very clear momentum to a great extent validate some of our thinking. Now, what we are now going to do in the, what we're going to do in the CMP3 is to continue to scale this up. Like, so what are the new capability we can look at? And in the CMP3 document, you can look through, we're looking at some of the potential area we will explore. Again, going back to my third objective, which is diversify, we are going to look at, you know, we believe in the coming few years, our market is not just going to be one market, right? The way we envision the future market is going to be, I earlier mentioned about not one size fits all. So we hopefully we come up with a layer market. So we have market for specific either category with products, a category of issuers, or category for investors, and thereby helping these people find the right products and services they can use, they can invest in, or they can actually a platform where we're actually beginning to create a much more vibrant marketplace. So that's hopefully, I think the plan is a plan. I think the key is to implement it. Yeah.
I don't want you to be an SC official anymore, Wei Min. I want you to be Nostradamus of sorts here and pull out your crystal ball, because it's not that easy predicting the future, but it's also important for us to look at some of the trends that have been happening and see what's in store for us. You were mentioning that ECF garnered over $1 billion. Is this the way forward? How do you think the future of fintech, the future of digital innovation is going to take place in the capital markets of Malaysia in a post-pandemic world, in an endemic situation? What do you think will take off? What do you think is going to stay the same?
Well, this is a tough question.
So it is. It is a tough question. But that's the fun part. You know, Wei Min can only handle the tough questions.
Oh, dear. I think you're absolutely right. I think it's a new normal. I think we are changed. We probably cannot go back to the old way. And whether it's, like you say, the hybrid working style, you know, some part of us are, you know, at home, like I am today, right? Or somebody who can be actually work from office. So that is here to stay. I think we see the businesses will continue to evolve, and hopefully we will emerge stronger and better. And part of CMP3 is also to actually allow us to, you know, the nations to recover. Now, with regards to fintech, I do think the last 18, 24 months have shown that it's actually further accelerate the whole, you know, digitizations of the industry. We clearly see that in terms of not just the fundraising amount, we see the increased number of people who participate in digital investment management is in, you know, six-figure increase, right? We have seen new signed up in the digital broking space, people who buy their fund management through the digital means. We have clearly see clear traction in the digital asset exchanges. We also see clear traction in equity crowdfunding, peer-to-peer. So these sort of capability we see not just limited to the younger folks, but it's also actually much more pervasive, and is actually, we see that this will continue to accelerate. Now, what we want to see as from SC perspective, digital to us is not just a technology nor a channel. To us, digital, we meant is actually the changes to the market structure or the business model. Now, what I mean by that, I think we do see a changes, sweeping changes coming gradually in terms of, you will look at traditionally capital market is very B2C, right? So people who actually just provider giving to the consumer. With the crowdfunding, with our doing now initial exchange offering IEO, a lot of these are about C2C already. We're giving the power to some extent. Some people talk about Uberization of finance, right? So our changes to our business model as well as the market structure is to actually now much more flattened, and to great extent actually provide impetus to actually new product innovation. Right, there are areas that it will be disintermediated, right? To a great extent, what we are happening in our crowdfunding space, but to great extent also is re-intermediation. So we're beginning to see new forms of new ways of offering the products. So we are seeing, hopefully in the next 3 to 5 years, again, the technology, the fintech have allowed us to, the offering allow us to not just do everything full value chain. We are seeing the emergence of specialists in a thin sector. So they can be specializing in one area, addressing the whole industry inefficiency. They will do better at each segment of those. So we see that emerging, whether it's in research, whether it's in capability to offer advice, whether it's actually creating a new utility, right? I think our industry really need, for example, fund management industry, there is a need to centralize utility capability to do a lot of post-trade transaction, make it more efficient, allow the fund manager to offer better product. So we see a specialization in a thinner slice. We do see this digital capability allow us to create new markets that actually offer new products and services. And hopefully now we can allow our investors, issuers, intermediary, and hopefully regulator a better choice and better ability to manage that market.
What would be some of the key challenges that you think we need to overcome? The one or two things that really is a big hurdle for us to cross in order for us to achieve these kind of goals as outlined in CMP3?
Yeah, I think for this, I think for as with any regulator, I think the clear difficulty is to strike the right balance between market development and innovation, as well as our core mandate in terms of investor protection and market integrity. So striking that right balance is one of the greatest challenges that we have in SC. So how do we ensure that the investors are well protected and market stays intact without stifling the innovation? So I think we're constantly challenge and debate, deliberate among ourselves, how do we allow more this at the same time, not at the sacrifice of the investor protection. Again, we are, if you read through our CMP3 document, we are trying to do that right balance and continue to engage the industry, come to us with ideas, and we'll look at, how can we be facilitative and enable that. At the same time, I don't think we can front run the whole product innovation, but I think we want to stay quite closely to follow suit. And there is a whole area of, I think, like soup tech in the document. We talk about how can we also upgrade ourselves from an SC perspective. How do we actually keep up with the changes and evolutions in the industry?
A plan is still a plan. It's all in the execution, as you rightfully say. So I really hope you guys at SC pull off the necessary action that needs to be done. Also, SC by SC, October 26, do keep an eye out for that. But for now, that's our conversation with Chin Wei Min, the Executive Director at Securities Commission. If you've missed any part of this show, just head on to astroawani.com. Look for Notepad over there. You can also look for Securities Commission on that channel as well. Until then, thanks very much for watching and goodbye.